Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, first I was told that today would be questions and answers. Then I was told, you are to speak something very general. Then I was told to recite the Vishnu Sahasranam. So I'm really confused. You're not confused. I'm confused. Well, I will do everything. So, Kakaniji, I think his question is, how to get Krishna's mercy. Is that correct, sir? So, to get Krishna's mercy is not difficult, actually. But it costs you. It's not cheap. For instance, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a very loud statement in chapter 2, right there in chapter 2, where Krishna says, by following the regulative principles of freedom, one can get the complete mercy of the Lord. So, one answer on this is if you want Krishna's mercy, you have to become free from sin. You cannot expect Krishna's mercy if you're sinful. Which is why my spiritual master, whenever he would initiate disciples, he would not accept cheap disciples. They had to agree to follow four rules. Now, the significance of these rules is that they are the four pillars of sinful life. Just as any building is going to have four columns or four pillars, and that's how the roof can exist. If you knock down those pillars, the roof comes crashing down. So there are four pillars of sinful life, and there's also four pillars of religious life, and they go hand in hand. So there is the house of sin, and it stands on these four pillars. First one, animal slaughter. Second one, illicit sex. What's illicit sex? Sex outside of marriage. And within marriage, sex without the express purpose of procreation. The third, intoxication of all sorts. And the fourth, gambling. And whenever I speak on this topic, I always mention, very close by is the capital city of sin. In fact, they pride themselves and call themselves Sin City. That is known as Las Vegas. It is the capital of Kali. Because you can get all these four sins 24/7 delivered right to your door. Get a hotel room, you call up, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. You can come completely sinful right there in your hotel room. get all four at the same time. So, you want God's mercy, Krishna's mercy? You have to knock down the pillars of sinful life and replace them with the pillars of religious life. So what are the four pillars of religious life? First one, truthfulness. Truthfulness means to speak according to the shastras, Bhagavad Gita, etc. You speak according to the Vedas. Then, cleanliness. Cleanliness inside, cleanliness outside. How do you clean yourself inside? Hearing and remembering and chanting God. God's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia. If you remember God, Om Apavitra Pavitrava, there is a mantra that is chanted before every yajna. That whether you're impure or pure doesn't matter. By remembering the holy name of God, you become pure. So internally you become pure by remembering God. Today is a good day for remembering God. Today is the day of Hari, known as Akadashi. Its nickname is the day of Lord Hari. Those who are pure Vaishnavas, they fast on this day. And there's different levels of fasting. But the idea is, by remembering God, you internally are pure. Externally, you take bath. I'm supposed to take at least 2 baths every day. Better if I took 3. Then my clothes should be clean, my workplace, my home, my vehicle, I should be clean. That's religion. My first guru, my mother, always told me, since I was able to speak, cleanliness is next to godliness. That was the words of my guru, my mother. My spiritual master, when I met him, also said the same thing. And he told us, his Western disciples, that you should be revolutionarily clean. Because that's religion. So, truthfulness, cleanliness, then there is austerity. Today is a day of austerity. On Ekadasi, you don't eat grain. You don't eat legume. That's an austerity. Because, and that's been my experience, you may not be so much inclined, but on Ekadasi, all of a sudden, now you want to eat grain. Just like there is a month when you don't drink milk. So during the year, I don't, but that month, oh, I feel like drinking milk. So austerity. What is austerity? Austerity means voluntary bodily inconvenience in order to make spiritual advancement. That's austerity. These athletes, right? These million-dollar athletes, they have to do austerities in order for them to make the millions of dollars that they do shooting a ball or throwing a ball or kicking a ball. They have to do austerities. They're also getting up, but not for Mangalarti. They're getting up to go to gym. So austerity is there, and Lord Narayan told Lord Brahma at the dawn of creation. Narayan told Lord Brahma, penance is my heart. And he said the potential power is penance only. So if you want to be successful materially or spiritual, you have to perform austerities and penances. So we have cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, and then the fourth principle of religion, mercy. Mercy. So mercy means we don't kill animals. We're merciful. That was Buddha's whole religion. Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. All Buddha was trying to do was get the people stop killing animals. That was his whole agenda. And he created a religion, Buddhism. Unfortunately, now we see that there are non-vegetarian Buddha sects. Yes, many. Yes, very few. It's Quebec. Yeah. Welcome to Kali Yuga, folks. Oh, I'm sure he's not eating. Yes. But yes. Huh? Some. Ah, you opened that door, not me. You know better than me. So, mercy, you display mercy by not killing animals. When I preach to Christians, I quote to them their guru, Jesus, who said, love your neighbor as yourself. So then I say, we are real Christians. Because we don't want to kill our neighbor cow. Not only is she our neighbor, but she is holy cow. She is mother cow. In this way I try to impress them. We are real Christians. Because we love God, don't we? We love God with a whole soul, a whole heart, a whole mind. And we love my neighbor. Not just my human neighbor, my animal neighbor as well. When Narada made the hunter a devotee, when Narada came back to see the progress of his disciple, the hunter who previously was torturing animals by half killing them, now that he had become a devotee, before he would pay his dandavats to his guru, he was making sure, are there any ants? I don't want to step on any ants. The same hunter. So, real religious person is merciful. Clean. Cleanliness destroys illicit sex. When you are clean inside and out, then you don't engage in illicit sex. When you are austere, you don't partake in intoxication. Because what does intoxication do? Intoxication destroys the determination to pursue spiritual life. That's the fault of intoxication. It ruins you inside. That you do not have the determination to become completely liberated and self-realized. And then, what destroys truthfulness? Gambling. That destroys. So you want the mercy of God? Give up sin. I've told the story many times. In several years ago, I was in Panama. I was on the 25th floor, huge penthouse. I was speaking to some Sindhi people, because when I go to Panama and Chile, the Indians are all Sindhis. I love Sindhi people. How many Sindhi people we have here? Yes. Me and Sindhis, we get along. They like me, I like them. In fact, right now on the internet is one of my Sindhi disciples. So, this lady, after my pravachan, in this beautiful house, she said, "Swamiji, can you give me peace? I have no peace, give me peace." So I said, "Are you eating meat?" "Oh, yes. I love meat." "I can't give you peace." Then I said, "Are you drinking liquor?" "Of course, I love to drink." "I can't give you peace." "Are you gambling?" "Oh, yes. After we chant our two chapters of Gita, we play cards." "How I can give you peace?" "I don't have a magic wand."
"Peace."
"No, that kind of peace is cheap. That's illusion. Krishna is telling you how to achieve His mercy." Now we can go a step further. Because just by becoming sinless, just qualifies you. How do you really get Krishna's mercy? You really get Krishna's mercy when you come in contact with another pure devotee. That's where, and that's what Prahlad said to his father. That is what Jadabharat said to King Rahugana. Same thing. You have to smear yourself with the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees. One time, you all know Dwarkadish, right? You all know him. So one time in his house, he did a Satyanarayan Katha. And there was a priest doing it. So I came after, and Dwarkadish asked me a question, saying, What makes someone a devotee of Krishna and someone not? And I said, very simple. To become a devotee of Krishna, you have to be blessed by somebody who is. Same principle. We get God's mercy through His devotees. So you put yourself in the position. For instance, today and yesterday was raining, wasn't it? Yesterday was raining. So people didn't want to go outside. Now today, what was it like? But what was shining? At 12 noon, we were outside. Right? Shekhar was even saying how the sky, and Gadadhar was looking at the blue sky and the white clouds, the sun was shining. It was a little chilly, yes, I know. But I had my chadar. But the sun was out. Right? And we were all getting the benefit, weren't we? Now, somebody may have been staying inside, not getting the benefit of the sun. Is that the sun's fault or the person's fault? Right. The sun is there for everybody, yes? Does the sun discriminate? Oh, no, no, no. You're a Democrat. I won't shine on you. Does the sun do like that? The sun shines on the demon and the devotee. The sun is indiscriminate, isn't it? All you have to do is put yourself in the position to take the benefit of the sun. Same way. Krishna is for everyone. Doesn't Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita, "All living entities are my parts and parcels"? So Krishna doesn't play favorites. So how do you get Krishna's mercy? Get it. He's giving. Krishna's mercy is right here. You have a temple. That's Krishna's mercy. Do you not have Sri Sri Radha Raman? Now look how many people here right now. How many people here? Your congregation is how many? Thank you. Do we have even 100? Some people don't want Krishna's mercy, it looks like. Because if they wanted Krishna's mercy, they would be like you, sitting right here, soaking up Krishna's mercy. Don't look at me. Look at Krishna and get His mercy. You can hear me, but you don't have to look at me. Look at Krishna and get His mercy. The sun is shining. All you got to do, come out of the house. Come out of the basement. Wake up from bed and get the mercy. Krishna's mercy. Lord Chaitanya has come and He is saying, God's mercy is there. Start chanting. If you chant, oh, my favorite story. I told this story in Santiago on Gaur Purnim Day. After the morning class, one person said, can you tell some story of Lord Chaitanya? I said, yes. One of my favorite stories, Amoga. Amoga was on his deathbed because he blasphemed Lord Chaitanya and sinful reaction immediately came. When Lord Chaitanya heard that Amoga was dying, Lord Chaitanya ran to the deathbed of Amoga and said to Amoga, Amoga, you are the son of a Brahmin. Your heart is supposed to be pure. But you're allowing the witches of jealousy and envy to reside. But then Lord Chaitanya said, if you get up and chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will unfailingly give you His mercy. Who has faith in that? Very good. Then you can get Krishna's mercy. Just have to believe. You just have to believe I can get all of Krishna's mercy simply by chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. Alright, you want to chant Vishnu Sahasranam? Chant Vishnu. I take the shortcut method. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant the name of God, Lord Chaitanya says, you will unfailingly get Krishna's mercy. But you have to believe. All right? Of course. That's the proof that you believe. The proof if you believe is that you do it. All right? What's our next question? Since you wanted this to be a question and answer session, I remember, I don't forget. When I'm given an instruction by this temple, I take it seriously. Now, and the agenda was changed again. We already did that agenda. It's done. Where's my bell? All right, next. So you get the next question. Unless somebody else has a question. There you go.
Hari Bol.
There's no more questions. He's got his question. Yes, sir.
Right one should I have
Okay. Okay. Bhagavad Gita is the beginning of transcendental knowledge. You have read Bhagavad Gita because I know you for many years. You're very familiar with the verse in chapter 2 where Krishna tells Arjuna, the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. You should become transcendental. So, transcendental portion of the Vedas is the Upanishads. The four Vedas are mostly dealing with this material world. When we come to transcendence, spiritual, then you go to Upanishads. But notice, Bhagavad Gita has a nickname, Gita Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita, even though it's in Mahabharata, is considered Upanishad. And it's very clear. Krishna's first instruction, just like when you're teaching someone, first you write the letter A, then B, an English alphabet, C, D, or K, K, G, right? The teacher shows how to write. You have to start somewhere. Or in mathematics, 1 plus 1 equals 2. If that's not understood, can't go further. So Krishna's ABC lesson of transcendental knowledge, you're not your body. You're not your mind. You're not what you see in the mirror. And I always say, thank God, because I don't like what I see every morning. The curse of old age. When you're young and pretty, ooh, I look so nice today. Wait till you hit 50, 60. So the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, yes, men, we start to, yes. So the first lesson of transcendental knowledge is that your spirit soul, distinct from the body. So, Bhagavad Gita, in 18 chapters, is giving you the foundation, the basic concepts of spiritual knowledge. Bhagavad Gita itself is sufficient for full self-realization. If you simply follow one shloka of Bhagavad Gita perfectly, you will achieve Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, your original spiritual liberated status. Now, you know, most of you know, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. Notice that word, sarva papebhyo. Krishna said, you surrender to me, you take shelter of me, I will mokshayishyami, I will, Krishna says, deliver you from all sinful reactions. So now, as I said, Bhagavad Gita's, everything's there. Krishna just says, think of me. At the same time, do your work. Right? Eighth chapter. He says, think of me, become my devotee now. If somebody wants more details, if somebody wants more specific information, then they would go to Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions his dham, tadama paramang mama. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does, because Bhagavad Gita is summary, there's not a whole lot of details. Now, someone may want to know, I want to know more about Tadamang panamang mama. Ah, when that question arises, go to Bhagavatam. You're reading Bhagavad Gita being spoken by Krishna. Krishna mentions of something about him. But if you want to know more about Krishna, Bhagavatam is there. So Bhagavatam takes Bhagavad Gita and expands on it. Bhagavad Gita is only 700 slokas. Bhagavatam is 18,000. And on the heavenly planets, the Bhagavatam has more verses. We only have 18,000. That's all we can handle. Brahma only needs 4. That's all Lord Brahma needed was 4. At the dawn of creation, Narayan spoke 4 verses. Brahma created the... because he's big, big brain. In fact, Lord Brahma's body is 90% intelligence. He's the smartest, most intelligent. That's why he's Brahma. So, what is Bhagavatam giving us? First of all, there are 12 cantos. Where do we learn about Krishna's life? 10th canto. What's going on in the first 9? Vyasadeva is more smarter than we are. Vyasadeva knows it's going to take me 9 cantos to explain what this word Krishna means. To understand Krishna takes 9 cantos. Alright? The 10th canto is 90 chapters. 11th canto is 30 some odd. 11th canto. 12th canto is 13 chapters. There's 335 chapters altogether. So, 9 cantos, you got more than 100, right? Chapters in the first 9 cantos. Because we have to understand what the complete understanding of Krishna is. There are 6 different kinds of avatars, not the movie. There are 6 different kinds. That's explained in the first 9 cantos. There is actually 10 subject matters. Creation, subsequent creation, protection by the Lord, the science of God, laws of mankind, change of manus, the winding up of the creation, liberation. So there are 10 subject matters in Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th one is Saman Bonam, the ultimate good. That is explained in the 10th canto. In 90 chapters of the 10th canto, Vyasadeva, through his son Shukadeva Goswami, describes Krishna's, and you know this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. That one line is explained in 90 chapters of the 10th canto. Krishna's transcendental birth and activities. It's all there. So Bhagavatam is when you want to go for PhD in the science of God. So, I recommend first learn Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. I read Bhagavad Gita cover to cover every year. Every year I go through, because I know if I don't know Bhagavad Gita, I am not going to properly understand Bhagavatam or anything else. Your cars, don't you change the oil every 3,000, 5,000 miles? Rotate the tires. Don't you go every so often to the doctor? All right, check me out. I do that. So your spiritual life needs a lubrication. Every year, read the whole Bhagavad Gita, so that your foundation is secure. Now for your edification, for your further advancement, read Bhagavatam. And if you want more, then come to my Chaitanya Charitamrita class that I hold sometimes on Sunday morning. Because that's the postgraduate study. Are you satisfied? Yes, sir. Uh-oh. Hope it's not politics. Okay.
I recently went to Houston. And I went to
Oh, that question. Okay. Very good, sir. So, the answer is yes and no. No, but I can explain. I can explain. Okay? There seems to be a particular pastime described in the scriptures that there is some kind of marriage of Radha and Krishna. That's why you could say yes. But based on how it is presented in Bhagavatam and how it is presented by those who are experts, the concept of Radha and Krishna being married diminishes the very reason of Radha and Krishna. Now, can I go a little further? I think so. I'm not sure. To me, it's not important. Okay, so I'm going to answer your question fully. No, that's not controversy. This is right up my alley. You've asked the right guy. All right, so Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Do you accept that? That is one of the fundamental teachings of Bhagavatam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Now, Radha and Krishna are one, but they've separated themselves eternally into two. The key word, eternally. Okay? Why is Radha Krishna one becoming two? They want to exchange love. Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Radha is the fountainhead of all the feminine incarnations. From Radha come the gopis. From the gopis comes the queens of Dwarka. From the queens of Dwarka comes the Lakshmis. You see the progression? Just as from Krishna comes Balaram, from Balaram Chaturvyuha, from Chaturvyuha Narayan, from Narayan all the different avatars. But the So from Radha proceeds the gopis, then the queens of Dwarka, then Lakshmis. Now, Krishna in Dwarka is married to all the queens. The first queen that got married was Rukmini, right? And then he married seven other prominent personalities. Let's see if I can remember them. So Rukmini, Jambavati, Satyabhama, Satya, Lakshman, Mitravinda, Bhadra, and Jambavati. Did I say Kalindi? Anyway, there's the eight principal queens. Then, at bargain basement price, he got 16,100 at one time. And took them to Dwarka and married them wholesale, one shot. Alright? So all those queens were duly, properly married. Right? In Vaikuntha, Narayan has his wife Lakshmi. Right? Now, we go to Goloka Vrindavan. Let's go to Goloka Vrindavan. Are you in Vrindavan? Alright. Now it's a little different. Because to be in Goloka Vrindavan, you have to be very, very, very intimately connected with Krishna. Now, since he is already experiencing wedded life with Rukmini, the queens, Narayan with Lakshmi, there's another kind of love that is called paramour, or technically parakya ras. The relationship with the wife is called svakya. That svakya has certain emotions, experiences, a different, certain kind of flavor. But there is another kind of nuptial love called parakya. Therefore, in order for Krishna and Radha to enjoy this, they don't want to be married. They want to remain boyfriend and girlfriend. Why? Because it makes the pastimes more exciting, more thrilling. For instance, I can give you an example. At night, when Krishna comes home from the pasturing grounds at sunset, everyone is there waiting for Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is on top of a tower, and he's looking down the road, waiting for Krishna and all the cowherd boys to come. Nanda Maharaj is just waiting. At night, there's a big celebration, big dinner. Everybody in Vrindavan is there for Krishna's supper, and Krishna is really hungry, and he eats sumptuously. And there's a darshan. Krishna gives darshan to everybody after eating. Everybody's coming to see Krishna. All of a sudden, Yashoda says, "All right, time for Krishna to go to bed. Everybody go. Chali, bas bas, go, go." So Yashoda puts Krishna to bed. There are two doors to Krishna's room. Yashoda is not aware that there's another door and Krishna has left it open just a little bit. Yashoda locks the main door, unaware that there's another door that Krishna has jimmied. So Yashoda tucks in Krishna, kisses him goodnight. Nighttime comes, everybody's fast asleep. As we get close to midnight, Krishna sneaks out that door. And as soon as he gets out that door, the land of Vrindavan takes Krishna to the pre-appointed spot that Radha and the gopis have arranged where tonight's love affair is going to take place. Okay, every night is a new spot. The land of Vrindavan, as soon as Krishna steps out the door, the land of Vrindavan says, "Come on, let's go." There, Radha and the gopis are waiting for Krishna. And what do? Rasalila. Every night. So if Krishna is married to Radharani, this is not going to happen. So this kind of loving affair, parakya ras, is more sportive, more exciting, more thrilling. Okay? Now, we were reading about this morning in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. This high ecstasy of the experience of Radha and Krishna, when experienced in the material world, becomes the most abominable, most degraded. That's why you cannot imitate. That's reserved for Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. There is no sin on their part. It's on the transcendental platform. It is free from any kind of lust. And as I said, by them not being married, it makes the experience more thrilling. Because when the sun starts to rise, they got to get back home. So there's a book called Govinda Lilamrita, subtitled A Day in the Life of Radha and Krishna. It actually begins from the early morning, Radha and Krishna coming home in time so their parents don't find out that they've been out all night. And then it goes through the whole day and again winds up at night. So, I hope I've explained. Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
That was a very good question. Excellent answer. Friends, just to remind you, today is a question and answer session. Anybody have any question about this Bhagavad Gita?
Rambhai's got a question. I know it.
Please come
up. It's written right on his forehead. I have a question. Yes, Maharaj. Okay, so the night of the Rasa dance in the 10th canto, there is one shloka where the word anyaradito appears. Anyaradito. Now, those who are familiar with the 5 chapters of Rasa Lila, Krishna was dancing with the gopis. In the middle, there was one special gopi, name not mentioned. There are thousands of gopis, Krishna being economical, one Krishna for 2 gopis. But nobody was cheated. Although there's one Krishna for every 2 gopis, each of those 2 gopis is thinking, Krishna's dancing with me. Krishna's cool like that. But in the middle is Krishna and one gopi. The rasa dance is going on. The gopis are dancing with Krishna, cheek to cheek. They're smelling his arm and it's so aromatic. Oh. Music is playing, the moonlight. The gopis start to think, we are the most fortunate women, we are dancing with Krishna. Krishna says, they're getting puffed up. I don't want my girls to get puffed up. Krishna disappears. But the one he was dancing with in the middle, she took him deep into the forest. The other gopis said, Anyaradito. The gopi, because they all saw it, the gopi that Krishna went with in the forest must have worshipped him better than us. Therefore the name Radha, meaning the one who worships Krishna the best. Now, Prabhupada mentions this fact. Although Shukadeva Goswami was hesitant to mention the name Radha, why? Because if Shukadeva Goswami had mentioned Radha, he would have gone into Samadhi and there'd be no Bhagavatam. So he did us a favor. Even there's another chapter where Radharani has the talk with the bumblebee. Again, he doesn't say Radha, he says some gopi. Because if he had, he would have been locked up in ecstasy, samadhi. Everybody would be waiting. When's he going to come out of the ecstasy? We only got 7 days here. So he specifically didn't. Prabhupada writes, although Radha's name is not directly mentioned in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in other Puranas. Alright? Did I satisfy your inquiry, sir? Say that again. Yes, we... Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta. We understand the conclusions by those who are expert spiritual scientists. Shukadeva Goswami is an expert spiritual scientist. All right, we have more questions? Yes. Yes, yes. But I don't like the word create, because create is something with a context that something wasn't existing before. But Radha and Krishna are eternally there. And a nice example I give is of a flame. Krishna is the flame. But the flame is giving off two energies, heat and light. You cannot separate the heat and light from the flame, can you? They exist simultaneously. Therefore, Radha and Krishna are one and at the same time two. This is a transcendental conundrum. As I've said many times, once we get to understanding transcendental subject matter, material logic you have to flush, throw away. How do you understand spiritual things? An elephant on a dish. Narayan was able to thread an elephant through the eye of a needle. If you can accept those two things, that there's such a thing as an elephant on a dish, and that an elephant can be thread through the eye of a needle, now you're able to understand spiritual subject matters. If you go by material logic, you're going to get very discouraged. Next question. Ah, yes. Ah, I had this question today already. Very good. In the morning class, the gopis that appeared the night of the Rasa dance are in three different groups. One group are those who are already eternally gopis, like Radha, Ashtashakhi. So they also come. There are two other groups. Certain daughters of demigods were now being promoted to the status of gopis. The third group consisted of the personified Vedas and some sages who approached Lord Ramachandra in the Dandakarana. They had wanted to have a conjugal relationship with Lord Ram. Ram said, no, in this avatar, Eka Patni Vrat. But Ramachandra said, but I bless you, when I come next time as Krishna, your desire will be fulfilled. So these two groups, daughters of demigods, and these personified vases and rishis, They're being promoted. Now, do you want to hear something more? If you become qualified, if you become purified, you can also be promoted to that Rasa Leela. Yeah, it's not going to happen right now. And now the question is, how do I do it? How do I do it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Why do you think I'm chanting? This is why I'm chanting. Ever since I joined this movement, that has been my desire. I one day want to dance in Rasa Leela. Hari Bol! So now I revealed something. Yes, sir. I can't say yes, I can't say no, but if that's what you heard, I hope that it is from an authoritative source. Hari Bol. Hey, I only know a little bit. Yes, Prabhu. Gunati, yeah. Yes. So, where were you when Prabhupada was around? Where were you? So you never met him? Yes, but you never met him, you never saw him. Okay. Well, I'll answer your question this way. So, it is not wise to say that there is nobody on that level. That's not wise. The wise thing is, I am not. Now, so here's the thing. The philosophy is that when you are really, really sincere, when you really want it, Krishna will send that person to you. Don't worry about anything else. Main thing is, you have to really want it. I know for myself, and you know from Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of people surrender. I was all four. I was in distress. I was broke. I was inquisitive. And I wanted to know what is the absolute truth. I hit the jackpot. So Krishna said, all right, fool, I'll take care of you. And I finally found that Atita Gun person. So, would you like me to bless you that you find such a person? All right. After the program come up, I will give you a blessing that you will find it sooner than later. But are you ready? Because when you find, then you have to surrender. That's another thing. Notice in Bhagavad Gita how Arjuna surrenders. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Not you, but many people say, oh, I want guru. But then when the guru tells them to do something, oh, no. That's like, I go see a doctor. I can't go to the doctor. He tells me what to do. Ah, stupid doctor, I ain't going to do what he says. Why did I go to the doctor? So the same way. Unless I'm ready to surrender, then don't expect. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking in general. When you're ready to surrender, Krishna will send the pukka person for you. So the real question is, am I ready to surrender? Am I sincere and serious? Once that happens, before you know it, it'll be at your doorstep. Okay? But I'll bless you after. Rambai, I was waiting for you, Rambai. All right. Yes, different doctors will prescribe different things, that's true. But again, so I'll answer your question this way. Do you at least accept that Krishna is not a cheater? Or do you think Krishna is vindictive? Do you think that Krishna plays with people? And do you think that Krishna is cruel? Do you think Krishna will cheat anyone? That's the first question. All right. So what happens? Krishna sends the guru that the person really wants. So if somebody wants to be cheated, Krishna sends them a cheating guru. Because that's what they want. Okay? But somebody who's sincere and serious, Krishna will send them the right person. So again, the question is me. Am I sincere and serious? Or am I still playing? Am I still cheating myself? Because once I become clean, once I become an open slate, once I became Krishna, like Draupadi. When Draupadi was being disrobed, right, she was still holding on to the sari. But then she saw, oh my God, what am I going to do?